God, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And to sum up what Paul says that when you decide to put on Christ in baptism, and when you make that choice to enter into a covenant relationship with Him, he says your standard changes. Your standard changes. Because previously, when you were not in a relationship with God Almighty and you were not in a relationship with Christ, the standard that you upheld was not God's. And if it is not God's, it is not perfect. It is not righteous. It is not holy, because that's God's place. So we have this choice of where we are going to follow, who we are going to follow, and we have a choice to make on what standard we need to uphold. So when we think about redemption and we think about God wanting to bring us out of our sin into eternal life with Him and offer us that redemption through the blood of Christ, which washes our sins away, He says there is a choice. He said, but the only way to get into my redemption is through my Son Christ, which comes through entering in a relationship with Him through baptism, which buries your old self, and you stick that standard in the ground with your old self, and when you come up out of that water, it's time to walk a new life. That's the redemption we have the choice in. Once we die to our sins, we are raised up to live a new life, if we choose. And we can choose not to follow Christ, but if we do choose to follow Him, something that we must understand is that there is a higher standard that leads us to become better servants, better people who evangelize, and people with a better destination at the end of our life. But go back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and I love the way that he ends the intro here in verse 4 when he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then also you will appear with Him in glory. And the idea is this. He almost throws out the reward for the choice. And he says, if you choose to accept this relationship, if you choose to try to fully uphold the standard of redemption, he says, when Christ appears, you will also appear with Him in glory. He throws out the benefit at the end, and in essence, Paul says, here is the reason, here is the draw, here's the hook to bring you into God's redemption, that when you choose to follow Him and uphold that standard, here is the result. You get to spend eternity with God Almighty and Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb, for eternity in glory. So we have a choice. Romans 6 reminds us that when we make the choice, the standard changes. And no, it's not going to happen instantly. No, you're not going to bury yourself and you're not going to come out of the waters. You're not going to come out of the new standard and you're not going to live a perfect life. But here is something that we need to understand. We have to not have that 99% mentality is good enough. You know, we had our paint fight yesterday with the young people out at Mike and Lana's, and we had a great time. If you shake my hand, you will see green. You might see pink and purple, and if you look in my ears, I'm sure I have yellow. But one of the things that we talked about with the kids yesterday during our time of devotional is that oftentimes as Christians, we get to this point where we have what I like to call a spiritual dead man switch. And if you know what a dead man switch is, they put them on semis and irrigation rigs, and what you do, once you turn that machine off, you can flip that switch, and that cuts all current to it, has no life, can't start, can't run. But sometimes, as a Christian, we have a spiritual dead man switch. We get to a point where we think, okay, 99% is good enough, but I need my 1%. And we flip that switch on God, and we say, God, I know your standard is better than that, but I don't want that right now. I'll get back to it here in a little bit, and I'll flip my switch back on. And we live an inconsistent life when we do that. And God says, the standard is better, be consistent, and I will take you to myself where you can rest with me and my Son for all eternity. So that's the choice. But go back in chapter 3, and let's begin in verse 5. And Paul would say this. Not only do you have a choice, but when you make that choice, some people will refuse to make that choice, but if you are one of the ones who makes that choice, if then you have been raised with Christ, here's what he says. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On these account, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger and wrath and malice and slander and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that they have put off the old self with its practices and having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. Here, this is Paul referencing to the church at Colossae. Here, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is it, but Christ is all and end all. So not only do we have a choice, but if you choose to accept the standard that God has set for redemption, then comes a time for change. A lot of the times, when we evangelize to individuals, and we portray just how good the good news of Christ is, and that person decides that they need to enter into a relationship with God Almighty, and they need to take the next steps after, and they become a Christian, and they start this process of everyday Christian living, sometimes we leave those people hanging. And this is not, you know, I'm not saying here in Florence Boulevard, I'm speaking generically in the Lord's church. We leave new converts hanging a lot of the time. And they have questions, and they have no idea what the standard fully is. And it's our responsibility, and sometimes we forget this, it's not only our responsibility to change things in our own lives, but it's also our responsibility to help other individuals see the changes that they need to make in their lives. And the reason for that is because if they continue to either, number one, misunderstand the standard of God's redemption, or number two, blatantly disobey the standard of God's redemption, that person's soul is in jeopardy. And we who are in Christ have a responsibility to reach to them and help them to get in a right relationship or to uphold God's standard. So in chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, when Paul says, and I love the wording that he uses here, he says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And he goes on here and he lists several different things that are earthly that cause us to, in essence, be separated from God Almighty. But I like the very first phrase that he uses, put to death. And here's the idea I think that Paul is reaching for. When Paul says, put these things to death, or put to death, depending on your translation, the idea is this. Pull the life-giving source out of those things. Yank the plug out of it. Put it to death. Put it away. When you, the idea when he uses that word death, Paul in his mind, I'm sure, was thinking, and I don't know, this is purely speculation, but I can envision Paul saying, when you bury someone because they are dead, you don't go pull them back up out of the grave. And he says, put these things to death, what is earthly in you. And the idea is this, when things that are earthly are in your way, it causes us to lower or lighten the standard that God has set for us. And it causes us to focus on the things of the earth rather than focus on the things of heaven, which Paul would address them to seek in chapter 3 and verse 1. So when we think about this, not only do we have a choice, and if we choose to accept it, but once we choose to accept the standard that God has set for us, then we have to make some changes. There was an individual that I think very, very highly of. He's always been a great example to me, and his name is Kirk Brothers. Kirk was, he's the interim minister at Four Star. He was, they've hired a minister now, but Kirk Brothers goes all over, does mission trip. He also is the youth ministry professor at Freed Hardeman, and this is the question that he asked when we were studying Colossians chapter 3. He said, I want you to logically and honestly be real with yourself. He said, I want you to examine one question. And he says, this is the question that you need to understand when it comes to redemption and it comes to the standard. Are you the same person today that you were when you put on Christ in baptism? And if the answer is yes, you've got to start backtracking and figure out where you went wrong. And figure out what you have done. And he said, oftentimes what you will find is when we can answer that question yes, what we have done is we have lightened God's standard of redemption so that our life fits in and there's not much that needs to be cut out. But this is not Cody speaking. This is word for word from the authoritative word of God, who says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On the account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. And here's what he says. But now you must put away them all, anger and wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. Paul reminds them in verse 7, he says that you too once walked in these things. And the idea is this, Paul's referring or talking to Christians here, and he says, you too once walked in these things. The idea is this, you are not now currently walking in these things, but you prior have walked in these things because prior you made the choice not to uphold the standard of God's redemption. But now, since you have made the choice to enter into that relationship, to strive to uphold that standard, he says, you no longer walk in these things. But he says, we need to put them away. We need to change. We need to get those things out of our lives. So the question is, if Paul is referencing to the church at Colossae that they need to put away all of these bad things that, in essence, don't help them to get or uphold the standard of God's redemption, the question is, okay, Paul, then what are the things, how do I find out the things that help me to uphold the standard of God's redemption? And in verse 10, he says this, and having put on the new self, which is being renewed, and here's the key phrase, in knowledge after the image of its creator. And he says this, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. And what Paul would say is, to that idea, okay, if I need to change, if I've made the choice to accept the redemption of God and I'm striving to uphold the standard, Paul, where do I go to find the things that I need to change? And Paul said it comes through knowledge. Romans chapter 12, in verse 2, another familiar passage that we have heard numerous times, Paul would say it this way when it comes to changing so that we can uphold the standard of God's redemption. In verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, and here's the key phrase, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So to answer the question that is at hand, where do we go to find out what we need to change? Paul is pretty clear in the book of Romans, in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Colossians, that when we need to figure out what we need to eliminate from our lives, the best source to do that is from God's Word. And here's why. If parents set a standard for their children, children are going to, if they don't understand the standard, they're going to reach out to parents because parents set the standard. If coaches set a standard for their ball team and a player doesn't understand the standard, if he goes and finds any other information about how to better uphold that standard for their ball team, if he finds it anywhere other than the individual who set the standard, he's going to have miss or non-source or non-reliable information. So when we think about the standard of redemption that God has set for everyone who is in Christ, if you have been raised with Christ, he says you have a standard that you are expected to uphold in order to receive redemption, and you're going to have to change things. And here's the answer. If you are going to change things, you need to extend or seek out my counsel to know what to change, because I am God. I am the I am. I am the one who offered the sacrifice. I am the one who has given you the life that is in your body today. And because I am, I determine the standards and I determine where you go to change and what needs to be changed. That is a statement of authority. You want to know what to change? Seek God's word whether he would say it this way, that we renew in knowledge, or whether he says that we renew in our minds, the idea is that when we want to become better at upholding the standard that God has set for redemption, we need to seek God's word. It will tell us everything that we know. You know, Christ would say it this way, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. The book of Proverbs will say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And the Bible is soaked from Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation that give us this reflective or reoccurring thought that says, if you want to know how to be better, seek back God and his word. But with redemption, we have a choice. There will be changes. And the third C I want us to look at here for just a moment is that it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge. When you think about standards that are set and you think about the rules that maybe are laid out in place and you think about these things, and sometimes when we see a standard, we question, I don't like it. That's too hard. That requires too much. That's going to be unachievable. But let's think about this from a spiritual perspective. God has promised that his redemption can be achieved through his son if we do it his way, and it can be done. It's not that it's too hard. But here is the challenge. Colossians chapter 3 again, beginning in verse 12. Now remember, this is for those individuals who have been raised with Christ. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And here's the key. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul answers that question of what needs to be changed, but he also ends in the book of Colossians in chapter 3, right before he goes on to talk about wives and husbands and Christian household. He says this. He says, not only do I want you to change things, not only do I want you to eliminate things out of your life so that you can receive my redemption, but he says this. He says, I also want you to replace them. Don't just cancel those things out. Don't just throw them away and put them to death and expect that to be the standard met. He said, I want you to eliminate these things, but in the process, while you are eliminating those things, I want you to grab these things over here, and I want you to implement them in the place of those things that you eliminated. And the reason he does this is that when we replace those terrible things that God has asked us to eliminate from our lives, it gives us less opportunity to return back to those things once again. And he gives us a list. In chapter 3, in verse 8, he says, But you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth, lying to one another. And then in chapter 3, in verse 12 and 13, he says, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive. So the idea is this, is when God sets the standard and he asks you to eliminate things out of your life, he is asking you to eliminate things that prevent you from receiving his redemption, but also prevent you from being the best servant that you need to be. And he is asking you that when you eliminate those things, he wants to leave you with the challenge to replace them with this list of things that are of the opposite nature. Kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And I love last week what Brother Greg had to share with us about kindness. And this is reality. And this is one that I have written out. I have all 4 points written out here. It's going to take work. You have to see Christ. You have to be consistent. And here's the cold, hard, honest fact that I never thought about this until he shared this with us in his sermon. Christian kindness takes courage. Takes courage. And I never thought about that, and I did some digging this week on that thought. Christian kindness doesn't look like giving a homeless person a meal. Yes, it does to an extent, but I don't think that's the deepest meaning of Christian kindness. Christian kindness doesn't mean giving somebody a ride to its deepest extent. I'm not saying those things aren't Christian kindness. I'm saying I don't think that's the deepest extent that God expected us to endeavor on Christian kindness. But the ultimate picture that I see of Christian kindness that God has set the standard was in that when Christ was hanging on the cross and those men were standing at the foot of the cross and they were casting lots and they were hurling insults up at him, the kindness that Christ had said, "Father, forgive them." And the idea is that even in the midst of terrible struggles and strife and trials and tribulation, when we put to death those things, anger and wrath and malice and sexual impurity and immorality and evil desire and covetry, the idea is that it clears our vision to see the things that we need to replace it with so that we can truly strive to uphold the standard of God's redemption. And it is pictured in Christ hanging on the cross. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. If you have your Bible, turn over there with me. Romans chapter 12, when Paul writes this, I want you to look at the side note in your Bible right beside verse 9. I'm not sure what your Bible says, and I know that these are just titles that you know, depending on your translator, they have stuck in to help you to guide through the passages. But I do think that they have gotten this one absolutely spot on correct. Because in mine, in Romans chapter 12, here's the phrase that sits out beside verse 9. Marks of a true Christian. And when you put that thought from Colossians 3 back into play, if then you have been raised with Christ, if you are a Christian, Paul would say this in Romans chapter 12, if then you have been raised in Christ, here is what your life should look like. If you are truly striving to uphold the standard, here's what it looks like. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. This is the beginning of verse 9. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who curse you, and bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceable with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And here's the thought that I want you to think. When Paul says this, I'm not preaching to everybody in the audience. I'm preaching to myself as much, if not more, than anybody else. When Paul says these are the marks of a Christian, or ESV would stick in there, when he gives this description of Christians, he is saying this. A person who is seeking to fully uphold the standard of redemption that God Almighty, the only person who gets to set the standard, when a person is fully striving to uphold that standard, this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. Colossians chapter 3, once again, same thing. Above, he gives us this list. Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Again, here's what Paul would say. If you are striving to uphold the standard of redemption, this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. And I said that this is the 3C. It's a challenge. There are times that you are going to want to just have your way. And just to be honest with you, I struggle with this one more than most. There are times where you're going to feel as if you are secluded, you are in a corner, and you are ready to just have it out. That's not the standard. That's missing the mark. There are times that you are going to want to look at God and His expectations of worship and say, you know what, God, I don't like that. I'm going to do it a different way. What you've done is you've lowered the standard. There are times that you are going to look at that Bible that's sitting on your shelf at home. And I'm going to do this. I'm not preaching to anybody else. I'm preaching to myself. There are times that we're going to see this book sitting around over and over, and God has a standard that we are to study it to grow. And we're going to look at that Bible, and we're going to leave it sitting there. And we're going to say, okay, you know what? I've got high enough, as close to the standard as I can. And what we do when we make those decisions to just have our way and to do it our way and to just whatever action we decide that does not line up with the standard of God, what we do is that we are trying to grab a hold to that standard and pull it down to our level because we are too selfish to change what needs to be changed so that we can uphold it. But God has made a standard. He has the authority. He has set the boundaries, and He expects those who have put on Christ to give everything that they have, to fight as hard as they can, to do whatever is necessary to obtain that standard. And as He would say in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, if you have been raised with Christ in verse 1, and you make the choice to seek to uphold that standard, and you fight and you claw, and you take the challenge, and you make the changes, and you understand just how difficult it can be because it is a challenge. He said, if you seek fully to uphold my standard of redemption, when Christ comes, when He appears, you also will appear with Him in glory. That's redemption. And that's the standard. So the question is, do we truly seek to uphold the standard? It's a challenge. It requires changes, and you have to make the choice. The question is, when you look at your life this morning, and you see, you evaluate where you stand, are you reaching for the standard and striving to get there? Or are you grabbing and trying to pull it now? And I don't know. I don't know where you are, but I want to share with you a quote. And Greg had mentioned something kind of similar to this last week, but I'll read you this quote. Satan doesn't care if you go to church. He doesn't care if you read your Bible. He doesn't care if you pray daily. He doesn't care if you serve every human being on the face of the earth. What he does care about is when you look at the Word of God and you don't apply it to your life. When you look at God's Word and you don't apply it to your life. The truth is, from a biblical perspective, God has set a standard that He wants us to uphold, and He wants us to walk in Him. And if we choose to accept that relationship and we choose to uphold that standard, here is the reward. We spend eternity with Him and His Son in and around the throne room of God in a place of rest for all eternity. But on the flip side of that coin, if we choose not to accept that relationship, and if we choose not to uphold that standard, and if we choose to just miss the mark intentionally, we have vainly, and I mean this, we have vainly put on Christ. And God doesn't expect or accept vain relationships in His kingdom. Last verse I want to leave us with this morning, and Nate read with us in 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. The author of John would say this: "This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." And here's the question I want you to think about as we close this morning. Look at your life this morning. How much of the standard have you been trying to uphold? 80%? 70%? Even if you say 99%, think back to what we said earlier. Think of those things that were detriment. Have you truly made the effort to uphold the standard that God has set for redemption? Or have we lightened up the standard to fit our own personal lives so that we don't have to change? And I'm the first to say that I'm as guilty as anybody else in this, and that I struggle with this, and that sometimes I look at standards and I look at them and I say, you know what, I know that this is a standard and I don't want that standard, but the truth is I shouldn't want to change standards because they are set for my benefit. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't made the choice to accept God and to put on Christ in baptism, to enter into a relationship with him and his son. And I will challenge you this: there is a sad day coming one day, and I would hate for you to miss God's redemption. And you've got the opportunity to change that, to make that choice, to hear his word, to believe in his son, to confess sins, to repent and change your mindset and your actions of those previous things, to be buried with Christ in a relationship with him and put your old self in the ground, to come out a redeemed child of God and to walk in the newness of life and march right to Zion with brothers and sisters in Christ so that you can receive redemption. Or maybe you have made that choice and you said, you know what, I've missed the mark. And I've let God down, and I've let him down intentionally and repetitively. And maybe it's time for a change to be made. Maybe it's time for a public repentance, or maybe it can even be done there where you sit. The truth is that God has set the standard, and he wants to redeem us, but we must make the choice to receive and to strive to obtain that standard. And it's a challenge. And we are going to mess up. We are going to fail. But God says that if you do fail, repent and change and strive a little bit harder tomorrow. Fight the good fight and take hold of eternal life. Keep fighting. Keep changing. Day by day, renewing your mind in the truth of God's word. Or maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I'm just having a hard week. I've got something on my heart. I've got prayers that really are challenging me, and I really want to share it with the congregation and get their support too. If there's anything that we can do to help you this morning, won't you come as together we stand and sing?